The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. We're doing a series of broadcasts on the fruits of the Spirit. Do you know what they are? Let's do a review very quickly of the 9 fruits of the Spirit mentioned in God's Word. Please get your Bible and follow along. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the 9 fruits mentioned in God's Word of the Holy Spirit. These are produced by God's Holy Spirit working in our lives on a daily basis. Do you understand what they mean? Do you see them in your life? Are you trying to cultivate them in every aspect of the way you live? That's what true Christians will do. And all of us need to examine ourselves to see if we are bearing an abundant crop of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Because it's very plain and very clear from God's Word that if we really do have God's Holy Spirit, some call it the Holy Ghost, that's just a mistranslation. There is no such thing as ghost. It should be referred to as the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible really is talking about. And if we as true Christians really have God's Holy Spirit working in our minds and in our lives, we're going to bear an abundant crop of the fruits of that Spirit. And we're going to have such an abundant crop of those fruits that it's going to benefit not only us, but everyone we come in contact with in one way or the other. And it's going to be very, very pleasing to Almighty God. So we're going through this series now about the fruits of the Spirit, and we're going to cover them one by one. And we're going to start with the first one today. And that first one, as you see, is love. What is love? Real love that pleases God. We're not talking about the world's version of love. It's a highly misused term, love. We're not talking about emotional highs and lows. The way the world depicts love is actually selfish. Usually has to do with lust, self-gratification, ends up being destructive for just about everybody concerned. Now, in other cases, love is shown and given, and it's to be lauded and it's to be praised and appreciated. Family love, wonderful. Marriage love, love between husband and wife, what a wonderful blessing to have that. Parents loving children, children loving parents, and children loving children, and loving neighbor, and acts of kindness and compassion and love in our society from complete strangers to other complete strangers in need. Yes, that's there, but we don't have enough of that, and we need more of that kind of love. But the love that we're talking about here today, in addition to all that we just mentioned, is at a higher level, and that is godly love. Godly love, that's what he's talking about here when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Godly love, of course, includes love of family and mate in marriage and our neighbor and others. And above all, it includes loving God. But the godly love that we're going to talk about today is God's love in us. And this kind of love is outgoing concern for others. It is giving. It is caring. It is the same kind of love that Jesus Christ and God the Father have. That's at the highest level of love that we can have. All other kinds of real love, that's fine. Not false and bogus love pictured by so many in our society today, in books and movies and different kinds of venues. But real love, outgoing concern for others. But on top of that, and better than that, and higher than that even, and combined with that is the godly love that comes from God to us and out to others. Let's just notice that kind of love, that godly love, right here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3 and verse 16. This is a famous verse in the Bible, but it's often misused and not understood. Verse 16, John 3 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And one thing we want to be sure we don't miss here is not only did God so love the world, but Jesus Christ so loved the world that he willingly gave of himself for the good of the world. Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So Jesus Christ freely gave of himself in a terrible crucifixion, death, being put in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then rose again. He did all of that. Never sinned once, but he did all of that, took all of our sins upon him, and paid the penalty in our stead because he loves all of us so much. And God the Father gave his only begotten Son, which was a tremendous sacrifice by the Father in heaven, because he loves us so much. That's the kind of love that we need to have, which will then express itself toward others and express itself toward God by outgoing service, by giving, by caring, and by having compassion and being interested in and hoping for and helping in any way we can at any time to assist, to in any way possible make a meaningful contribution to others and above all to please God. It has to do with action, the right kind of action. It has to do with caring, which is something that our society is moving away from, caring for others and caring about doing things the right way. Let's notice Matthew chapter 22, continuing to understand a little bit more about the kind of love that is produced by God's Spirit in us. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Read this in your Bible. Get your Bible and open it up and turn here to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 and read this. It's extremely interesting. Take some time to notice what it says. "Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Now, do we do that? What place does God occupy in our life? How often are you around anybody who you can detect really loves God? Doesn't just say it and doesn't just kind of try to give that impression. But I mean really does love God with all their heart and soul and mind. Do I do that? Do you do that? We need to examine ourselves. That's the kind of love that the Holy Spirit generates in our lives. This is the first and great commandment, verse 38. Now notice verse 39. "And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love toward God and love toward neighbor. And those two commandments sum up the great Ten Commandments, which really are commandments of love. And it's all about loving others and loving God and loving our neighbor. Now, it doesn't mean that we are throw rugs, that we allow people to take advantage of us, that we are naive and make foolish decisions and get ourselves into trouble by helping others, and then they began to use us and take advantage of us. That's not the kind of love it's talking about here. That's just foolishness. The love we're talking about here has wisdom as a part of it. It has common sense involved in expressing it. This kind of love is caring and serving and giving and outgoing and helping in any way we can But it is not foolishness, and it is not being naive, and it is not getting yourself in a position of being taken advantage of by scam artists, by strangers, by helping people that won't help themselves. That's not showing them love. That's perpetuating their indolence and their laziness and their refusal to do their part. That's not the kind of love God gives us. God expects us to do our part. He's not going to do it all for us. He's going to do what we can't do, and he's going to help us do what we must do, and that's love. We live in a society today that cares less and less about God and about others and about helping out in any way, little or big. Some outstanding people still care and still help out and will still be inconvenienced and still go out of their way to do whatever they can to help those in need. They surely do. And that's admirable, and that's outstanding. But the number of people who are willing to do that is shrinking. More and more people insulate themselves, they're turned in, and they don't care about anybody else, or very seldom do they care about anybody else. And if they even do show any kind of love toward them, it's usually selfish love. What am I going to get out of this? Look how good this is going to make me look. How many people today are really outward thinking and outgoing and caring for others? Not enough, and not that many, and it's shrinking all the time. No, I'm just going to live in my own little world. That seems to be the attitude. I'm going to get while getting is good, and I'm going to look out after old number one, and don't you get in my way or you'll get trampled underfoot. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Don't bother me, I won't bother you. You mess with me, you'll be in trouble. But this interaction and caring and giving and lending a helping hand and giving a kind word and encouraging one another and so on and doing it without expecting anything in return, just an act of love, it's just not done enough today. It's a beautiful thing when it is done, but it's not done enough today. And yet, you know what? True Christians live life like that. People who really have God's Holy Spirit, that flows out from them. That's the first and perhaps most important fruit of having the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have God's Holy Spirit working in your life, you're not really a true Christian. You may be doing Christian deeds, and you may be trying to be a really nice person, but I can show you a verse that says, unless you have God's Spirit working in you, you are not, in the ultimate, truest sense, really a Christian. I'll show it to you right over here in the 8th chapter of Romans. The 8th chapter of Romans. Verse 9. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God is one and the same, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's how important it is to have God's Spirit dwelling in us. It has to do with being true Christians. And when we have that Spirit in us, true Christians will then be filled with love. Godly love. The right kind of love. Outgoing love. Positive. Building up, inspiring, encouraging, helping in every way possible as a way of life, giving and serving for the good of others and at any time and in any situation we possibly can. Our civilization is withering away from the greatness that it once had, and it's decaying and dying because that underlying approach of love, not just emotion, but of love, is evaporating and it's diminishing and it's disappearing from our society. The kind of love that we must have that flows from God's Spirit involves action, it involves faith, it involves words, but words are not enough. Yes, it involves, when it's appropriate, I love you, but that's not enough. That must be followed up on in faith with proper action with productive deeds. We have to think it. We have to say it at the right time. But above all, we have to do it. We have to be doers. We have to show it. It's easy to say, I love you, I love you. But what shows up as a result of that? What flows out of those words? What action then takes place to show that we love someone or love something? Love unexpressed is not love, and that expression has to be both words and deeds. Otherwise, it's just hollow-sounding words. Let's notice here in James chapter 2. It involves actions, faith, action, love, it all goes together. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say you have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. It takes faith and works, and that combined is an act of love. If you just say, oh, well, you say you're cold, you say, you know, you're hungry, you say you have need of something to eat and clothing, well, be warm, be filled, depart in peace. Does that make the person warm? Does that make the person filled with good food? Does that give peace to them because you said it? No, it doesn't. You have to do that. You have to step out in faith and show love and help them with clothing. Help them with food. Help them with encouraging, peaceful actions and comments. Love always translates into good works. It's combined with faith, and it starts with our attitude. It starts with how we think. It starts with how we think and then what we say, and above all, what we do. And Christians must live life filled with this kind of love that involves actions. Now, I want to show you a verse in the Bible that really makes this plain. Let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I have not love, charity and the Authorized King James Version should be translated love. And have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Doesn't matter how great I can speak or sing, it's nothing if it's not combined with love. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Doesn't matter what great achievement we have and how famous we are and how much talent we can show and have and use, if it is not combined with love, it's nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. In the end, it still comes down to love. All that we do has to be from an attitude of love, from a motive of love and giving. If it isn't, it's going to end up being useless. It's all selfish. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It doesn't last. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't please God. It doesn't help the person that's doing that. It's just out of the wrong motive. Look at me. Look how I can sing. Look how I can speak. Look how good I am by giving all these things to other people. Look how spiritual I am by just talking about God all the time and quoting scripture all the time. That is meaningless if action doesn't follow. If it's not combined with love that is outgoing and that is productive and that achieves and does something that is filled with love, kindness, compassion, goodwill, and caring, helping others without any kind of selfish motive at all, expecting something to come back. None of that is involved in love. It's giving and serving and helping because you love the person. It's obeying God, it's worshiping God, it's submitting to God because you love God. Not so, okay, now God, I love you, give me the blessing. That's not the kind of love that a Christian has who's filled with God's Holy Spirit and has that first fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Now I want to show how the Bible really defines love in no uncertain terms. It doesn't leave any doubt. We don't need to be wondering about this kind of love that God has and that he wants us to have. Let's turn over here to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 is not a mystery. The Bible makes it so plain. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 John 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. How do we love others? We love others by loving God and keeping his commandments. Now, how is that possible? Well, notice verse 3. For this is the love of God. This is the kind of love God has, and this is the kind of love he wants us to have. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, they are not burdensome. You see, the commandments define godly love. God is love, and he expresses his love toward us through giving us his way of life. And therefore, that way of life brings tremendous blessings from him. And what is that way of life? It's the way of his law. It's the way of his commandments. They're not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not bondage. Every one of the Ten Commandments are intensely expressing love. Every one of them. You shall have no other God before the true God. You shall not make any graven image. You shall not take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. All of these commandments is either love toward God or love toward neighbor. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. We keep those Ten Commandments in the spirit and in the letter. We are filled with godly love. We're loving God and we're loving neighbor. And we're having the kind of love that God has toward us. And that is serving. That is giving. That is being considerate and polite and full of appreciation and respect and helping. That's the kind of love he has. That's the kind of love he wants us to have. And keeping the Ten Commandments, it epitomizes, summarizes, and defines that kind of love. It says it right here, verse 3, 1 John 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And yet, what are we told today? Well, we're told by so many people, oh, those commandments are done away. They were nailed to the cross. That's not what the Bible says. Here we are over here in 1 John. That's the New Testament. And it's telling us by John, who was the apostle who loved Jesus Christ, and Christ loved him, and they all love one another, but he was known for love. The apostle John was, and he says, the love of God is to keep his commandments. That's what they're all about, the commandments. All about love. Obedience to God is loving God if we obey him from the heart. We're right here in 1 John. Let's just go right over here to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Oh, I know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? People say that. And my question then is, do you love God? Oh, I love God. I love God, and he loves me. And then my question is, do you keep his commandments? Oh, no, they're done away. They're done away. We don't have to keep those commandments. Then how do we explain these verses that we're reading right here in 1 John chapter 4 and chapter 5? It says the love of God is to keep his commandments. And then it says here in 1 John 4 verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Notice verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We must. And that is a new way of life, and that comes from being a new creature. That comes from walking in the newness of life. That comes from repenting and being baptized and receiving God's Holy Spirit and then yielding ourselves completely into God's hands and he becomes number one, and we follow Jesus Christ, and we serve others, and we serve God, and we live by his word, and we keep his commandments with his help as best we can, and the fruits of the Spirit start to just flourish in our lives. Because obedience to God is directly connected with having God's Holy Spirit and receiving more of God's Holy Spirit. That is a fact. It says it right in the Bible. Notice here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. So as we obey God, he gives us more of his Holy Spirit, and as we have more of his Holy Spirit, we have more of the fruits of the Spirit, starting with the first one, which is love. And therefore, obeying God is very, very key and instrumental in receiving more and more of God's Spirit, and therefore having more and more of the love of God in our hearts. And the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's a way of life, and it all adds up to living life abundantly and being a true Christian. Now, sometimes this kind of love involves correction and even pain. A lot of people overlook that. But it does involve correction and pain sometimes. If we're going in the wrong direction and God corrects us, and sometimes that can hurt in order to get us back to going in the right direction, that's an act of love. Just like it is when a parent has to correct a child who's going in the wrong direction to get them back going the right direction. Why do they do that? Because the parent loves the child. The same is true with God. Let's notice here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not you the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not or corrects not? It's for our good. And God does this in addition to showering mercy and compassion and pity and forgiveness and help on us. Sometimes he corrects us and he chastens us and even scourges us, and sometimes it's painful to get our attention and to get us turned around and to get us going in the right direction again from the wrong direction, and to be blessed instead of punished for going in the wrong direction and be blessed for going in the right direction. That's an act of love. And God does that because he loves us. So make no mistake about it. Sometimes love definitely and truly does involve correction. I want to conclude with two verses very quickly. The first one that I want to conclude with is Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. I wanted to take time to make sure that we read this in the Bible, in this matter of the fruits of the Spirit and in love. And I want to read this to you right from God's Word regarding the connection with love and the Holy Spirit. It says here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God, and that's what we want, the love of God, which is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, just like an apple tree is laden down with an abundant crop of apples, and a peach tree laden down with an abundant crop of peaches, a Christian's life should be loaded down with an abundant crop of the fruits of the Spirit, and the first one is love. And it's going to be there if we have God's Spirit. And look at the connection here in Romans 5, verse 5. Because the love of God is shed abroad, or has been poured out in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. The two are connected. We can't separate the Holy Spirit and love, and we can't separate love and obedience to God, and we can't separate love and giving and serving and caring for others and worshiping God. It's all there. And right in the heart and core and middle of the whole thing is God's law. That's what so many people overlook and sweep under the rug while they call themselves Christian. God's law has got to be there when the love of God is there. Let's conclude with a scripture that shows that very, very plainly. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. Look at this now. What does this mean? Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. In verse 9, it lists several of the Ten Commandments. So there's no question as to what law it's talking about here. In verse 9, it lists several of the commandments that are in the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And then what does it say in verse 10? Romans 13, 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, if the law has been done away, love's been done away, because love is the fulfilling of the law. Which law is he talking about here? Notice verse 9, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, and so on. The Ten Commandment law. Love fulfills the law. So let's examine ourselves. Let's take stock. Let's be honest. And let's see if we are really filled with the love of God that comes from having God's Spirit and that flows out to God and to others. And if not, let's find out what we have to do to change and have that Spirit and have that love that can come only from God. And you can find out what to do by continuing to listen to these broadcasts and following this series on the fruits of the Spirit that we're going to be bringing to you in this series of programs that we are now starting regarding the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So please stay tuned. And please request our free material on the Holy Spirit and on what is a true Christian. We'll send this material to you free of charge by return mail. All you have to do is ask for it. Also, please ask for our free magazine, Straightforward. This is a beautiful magazine. You will enjoy it. It's free. There's no obligation. It covers a gamut of Christian living. And it's free for the asking. All you have to do is ask for Straightforward magazine. You can write us or you can call us at our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org and ask for the material there. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.